Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, 13th of January, 2025. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today, a lot of news to cover, but we're going to start today with a bit of sad news and a bit of an homage, a bit of a memorial to the great Scott Adams, one of the most prominent voices in the MAGA movement, the author of the Dilbert comic books, and a real maverick. And he'd been sick for a long time, and he passed away today. So I wanted to play a video of his from September of this year, following the Charlie Kirk assassination. But he gets into a concept that he sort of introduced to political discourse, which is the idea of watching two different movies on the same screen, the alternate realities that liberals and conservatives reside in. His impact on this world will go long beyond his life. Here is the late Scott Adams. Let's go to clip one, guys.
Of teachers and people associated with schools of various types who are getting canceled, meaning fired, for saying horrible things about essentially being happy or saying it was justified that Charlie Kirk got assassinated. Well, what do you think about that? That people are losing their jobs all over the place. Well, let me tell you the thing that is most shocking about that. The most shocking thing is that the people who spoke out that way believed they wouldn't get fired. I think they were all surprised, which means they've been living entirely within a bubble in which they thought other people would agree with that. Are you kidding me? They thought they were in the bubble of reality where let's say that Hitler was an American and he died. Would you feel bad about saying, thank God Hitler died? No, you wouldn't, because you would assume that almost every single person would agree with you. So it would be easy to say that. These people are saying it in public for the world to see, as if that's what a normal person would think. How hypnotized would you have to be? So in my mind anyway, and I think I've said it online at least once, I think of these people as the hypnotized Hitlerians. Hypnotized Hitlerians. You could drop the hypnotized if you need to. But the Hitlerians are people who live in this little world where they think Hitler actually came to power in the United States because so many bad people on the left have been saying that, people who should know better. So I actually have some weird empathy for these teachers getting fired for saying horrendous things about Charlie Kirk, because they actually think they're in a different reality than they are. How do you think you're in a different reality? Is it because you individually had some mental problem? Probably not. It's probably really a predictable outcome of the rhetoric that we're seeing from the left. It's the most predictable outcome that people would believe it as literal, all the Hitler stuff. Oh, it's literally as bad as Hitler. We better do something about it. So I would say the people getting canceled are in their own way, although, you know, our system is that you have to hold them responsible. I'm not saying they're not responsible. They are responsible, but they are also victims because they've been hypnotized to believe something hideous. And going through life, imagine them going through life thinking that they live in a world that had been taken over by some Hitler character. I don't even know what that would feel like, but it would certainly distort your opinions and actions.
So again, that was Scott Adams. He passed away this morning after a very long and public battle with cancer. So, of course, we'll keep him in our prayers. He did issue a final letter to everybody where he converted to Christianity and embraced Jesus Christ. So, again, his impact will last long, long after he's gone. Still unfortunate. Godspeed, Scott Adams. We'll be back on the other side with the news. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you this morning on InfoWars, or this afternoon rather, on InfoWars.com, band.video. Streaming on X as well. Of course, please do share those links. We got a lot of news to talk about today. I'm also going to open up the lines for your calls. Probably about halfway through the show. Might do the same thing Alex did, say, new callers only. But I do feel like we need some other voices in the conversation, because right now it feels like the same conversation is being had over and over and over, which is just, okay, well, what do we do now? What do we do now? And why is Trump not just doing what we elected him to do? It's very baffling. I mean, everybody on the right wing that I hear talk about this either is like Dan Bongino, basically saying, shut up, stop questioning, Trump's doing amazingly, you just don't get it, which obviously isn't true. Or the vast majority of people are all sitting around going, all right, Trump's just not doing it. So what is next? Where do we go from here? What do you do when you discover, when you, you know, finally establish once and for all that your electoral system is utterly fraudulent and cannot be used to correct the system as it stands? Where do you go from here? We'll take your calls on that and a lot more. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. All right, folks, here it is, your daily dispatch for Tuesday, the 13th of January, 2025. Bill and Hillary Clinton declare themselves above the law as they defy Epstein's subpoena with an astonishing letter slamming Trump's, quote, cruel agenda of getting justice for the girls they raped and trafficked. Yeah. The ex-president was scheduled to testify in a closed-door deposition in the House Oversight Committee's bipartisan investigation into Epstein at 10 a.m. Tuesday, but failed to show. Hillary was slated to appear on Wednesday. House Oversight Republican Chairman James Comer promised to bring contempt proceedings next week, setting off a potentially protracted and politically fraught legal battle that would be the first time in history a sitting or former president has been held in contempt by Congress. So we'll show you that in just a little bit. We'll show you Comer's statements. It's just goes on and on. The merry-go-round never stops. It's just, you would think at a certain point we'd be able to punish the criminals, but not even on the horizon, as far as I can tell. Meanwhile, Trump administration ends Somalia TPS, affecting thousands of migrants. The Trump administration is ending temporary protected status for Somalia, affecting several thousand Somalis living in the U.S. and several hundred currently living in Minnesota under the protection. Somali immigrants with TPS will be required to leave the country by March 17th. Temporary means temporary, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem told Fox News Digital in a statement. Country conditions in Somalia have improved to the point where it no longer meets the law's requirement for temporary protected status. I'm sure this will be reversed by probably a Somalian in a judge's robe pretty soon, if I look back in the past and continue that pattern into the future. Meanwhile, Trump favors attacking Iran, Vance pushing back as President Pezeshkian in streets for large counter-protest. There are reports of a significant internal Trump administration divide over Iran policy, with Vice President Vance said to be leading the charge for the non-interventionist camp, which much of MAGA might welcome, seeing Vance as the top contender in 2028. Yes, so this is, again, it's the same internal battle that we've been reporting on since the beginning of this administration, with some America First portion of the Trump administration not being in favor of going to war for Israel over and over forever, and a large chunks of his administration that are Israeli, so, or Israeli-controlled. So that battle is continuing. We just pray for ourselves and America and the world that the anti-interventionalist win out. Finally, Pentagon paid eight figures for a mysterious device believed to be the cause of Havana syndrome that sickened spies, sources say. From Daily Mail, the weapon has been blamed for a series of unexplained ailments impacting U.S. spies, diplomats, and military service members for the past decade. According to military sources speaking to CNN, the Defense Department has spent more than a year testing the device, which was reportedly purchased in an undercover operation for eight figures. The device was clandestinely purchased in the final days of the Biden administration and is said to produce pulsed radio waves that penetrate a person's body, according to insiders. Yeah, maybe. Maybe they bought it from somebody just now, and we didn't know about it. Or maybe they've been testing direct energy weapons since the 1950s, and we didn't buy it from anybody because we made it ourselves literally decades ago. You know, it was one of those. It's one of those, too. And actually, our final story is, of course, the story we started with. Dilbert creator Scott Adams, dead at 68. POTUS referred to the late cartoonist as a fantastic guy who supported him when it wasn't popular to do so. President Trump offered his condolences to Scott's family. Cartoonist Scott Adams died after a long, protracted battle with prostate cancer. And, of course, we will remember him and his contributions to the overall sanity of this country and the world. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com is where you go to get any of the supplements that can massively change your life, as well as you get 50% off the awesome, badass new trench knife that we have, which is the same model as our old trench knife, which was an absolute bestseller, but it's got a cool new design on the side with a 1950s pinup girl, and life is fiery with its beauty. Really a beautiful weapon. You can get it right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com, that introductory price. So let's get into the story that we covered at the top of the Daily Dispatch. That is the fact that Bill and Hillary Clinton have decided not to appear for their hearing, their deposition in front of Congress. Now, this is a similar thing that happened with Steve Bannon or Peter Navarro. They, of course, spent time in jail following this. Will Bill and Hillary Clinton spend time in jail? I had to guess, I'd say probably not. If I had to go by the pattern that we've witnessed over the last several decades, I have a feeling they're going to get away with this because they always do. We can go down to clip number 11. This is House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer talking about holding Bill and Hillary Clinton in contempt of Congress. Let's watch.
Unanimously by the committee in a bipartisan manner, we will move next week in the House Oversight Committee markup to hold former President Clinton in contempt of Congress.
Yeah, good
job. So with that, be happy to answer any questions real quick.
Mr. Chairman,
anybody on the committee?
Will I bring Trump for an interview?
Well,
in this investigation?
President Trump has answered thousands of questions about Jeffrey Epstein. In fact, I would say today, well, you all ask him questions every day. He answers questions every day about Epstein. Well, you can't bring in a current president of the United States, and you all know that. So, but President Trump has answered thousands of questions about Epstein. I bet today, at some point, some of you all will ask President Trump questions about Epstein. He answers those questions. To my knowledge, former President Clinton has never answered questions about Epstein. And we just had questions. Because, again, I think anyone would admit they spent a lot of time together while Bill Clinton was president and post-presidency.
And, of course, we've reported he was called Epstein's best friend when the victims of Epstein were asked who else they should look into. Apropos of nothing, they say first and foremost, Bill Clinton. He was second in command, you might say. He was the most prominent person that they saw with Epstein. We've talked about how Epstein himself was introduced to one of his victims by Bill Clinton, who called Epstein the King of America. And of course, we've explained that this is all tied in with Iran-Contra. It goes all the way back to MENA, Arkansas, and Clinton was already in the CIA then, positioned as governor to provide the cover-up and, you know, give legal cover to the drug-running operations that were being used to fund black side operations by the CIA, as well as destroy America from the inside out by flooding our ghettos with highly potent narcotics. And all of this is the same sort of trend, the same sort of organization. And like that's, again, the thing that we're repeatedly shown over and over and over and over is that there is, in this world today, a secret ruling class that is above reproach, above the law, cannot be pulled in. It's not just about money. People with money can be charged with things. People with money can be taken down and sent to prison. These people don't have the most money out of anybody, right? Bill and Hillary Clinton, I'm sure, are rolling in the dough, but they have something more important than money. They have institutional power. They have well-established participation in intelligence agency activities. That means it's actually the prerogative of the agency themselves to protect Bill and Hillary Clinton because they're actually just protecting the agency itself. So, like, that's what you need to understand. Like, it's infuriating. It's wrong. It shouldn't be this way. How we dismantle this system is pretty obvious. You have to go for the head of the snake. You have to dismantle the CIA itself. You have to clear out the seventh floor of the State Department where all of this stuff takes place. And we're going to get into a little bit later, maybe sooner rather than later. But the way George Soros plays into this, because people are realizing, in fact, we'll go to this video. Because I do think it ties it all in together. And again, it's just an understanding that puts most world activities in a frame that's understandable and recognizable. That is, very simply, the intelligence agencies are the enforcement arm of the banking elite. Okay? The politicians are the front-facing mask of the intelligence agencies. But they're all working together, and the people who are actually in charge of these agencies and actually the highest up agents of these intelligence networks are never formally in the agencies at all. They're business magnates or bankers or presidents of the United States, but you're not going to find them, you know, with their picture on the wall in the Langley headquarters, because actually the CIA is an underling to the global groups, the secretive global networks that operate above the national intelligence networks as an international superstructure of control that use the CIA as pawns. It's not actually that complicated, but that's just what you need to understand when you look at this. Like, and because when you truly understand that, when you really like comprehend what it is I'm saying here, then it's not confusing to you why Bill and Hillary Clinton are refusing to testify, because they have no fear that they'll be thrown into prison. They have no reason to adhere to any laws because they themselves are literally above the law. Like, I know people understand this to a certain degree. I should really bring in some more clips of like CIA agents talking about this, like John Kirikou, you know, was always going around talking about this, where, and you know, Tex Gunderson, what's that his name? Ted Gunderson came out with this decades ago, talking about the fact that, like, theoretically, you know, some of the things the CIA does, like, there really is no justification for it. But when you're the intelligence agencies and you get to say, well, if we don't do this, millions of people will die. Yeah, what, you know, what can't you fabricate or do? So you just have to understand, when Jeffrey Epstein was arrested, he had like 10 different passports from like Saudi Arabia and all these other places. Like, when you're a CIA agent or a CIA operative or a useful asset to them. In fact, I actually just saw a video. It wasn't John Kirikou. I don't think it was that other CIA guy who I trust less, but he's got the crazy fizzy hair. And he's talking about he had a guy that he was interrogating, and he's being all cloak and dagger about it. But essentially what he's saying is that the guy demanded children as payment. That I have information that can save millions of lives. I demand children as payment. And the guy's like, all right, well, I can't do that. Like, that's not possible. And he goes to his superiors, and his superiors say, of course that's possible. Just send a request. Okay. And again, he's being all, you know, double blind about it, where he's going, you know, there was something this man wanted as currency. And I thought, there's no way we can get that. But my superior is just like, yeah, tell Langley, just send a request. We need one child, please. Send it off. They send you a child. You give it to the criminal. And he disposes of it at his leisure. Like, that's the type of thing these people do. That's what they can get away with. Do you know where to source a child? Probably not, right? Because you haven't maintained the networks of human trafficking and drug trafficking. You aren't involved in the mafia as the, you know, secret state partner of these criminal groups. But they are. All these people. That this is what they do. That's what they're involved in. They are, for all intents and purposes, literally above the law. Okay? When you can go demand passports or sacrificial children or drugs or whatever else. Like, they can just do whatever, whenever. There's no limits. There's no barriers. There's nothing. Because it's secretive and it's predicated on national security. And these two things go hand in hand. So we can do whatever we want and we don't have to tell you what we're doing. Okay, if you are a criminal mastermind, like, why would you not set that system up? Once you set that system up, well, it explains the last several decades of the course of humankind, doesn't it? Let's go to clip 15 here. I believe this is 15. Actually, you know what? I may be looking at the wrong video. Yeah, let's go to clip 24 here. Clip 24 is somebody realizing what a part, she's part right. She's getting there. She's getting there. Thing to understand, she's going to talk about how George Soros is a CIA asset. That's true, but it's a lot deeper than that. Okay? Remember, well, I'll go over it. I'll go over it with you in just a second. But this is ultimately important because the exact same strategy of color revolution that was carried out in Ukraine and unsuccessfully carried out in Georgia and all these other places is now not only being used in Iran, but in America as well. I mean, it's the exact same playbook we see roll out over and over again because this is a tried and tested, effectual way to take over a country. Well, let's watch clip 24 now.
I think I found the real reason George Soros is still allowed to operate freely inside the United States while he's been kicked out or heavily restricted in Russia, Hungary, Turkey, Pakistan, Poland, the Philippines, and a half dozen other countries. The answer is simple, and it's hiding in plain sight. George Soros has probably been one of the CIA's most valuable private assets for over 40 years. He's the civilian deniable billion-dollar funding arm of American regime change operations worldwide. That's why no attorney general, no Congress, and no president has ever seriously moved to shut him down here. He's not just allowed in America, he's protected. This is why both George and Alex are so arrogant. If you've seen my video on color revolutions, you already know the script. Soros bankrolled this prototype in Serbia in 2000, refined it in Georgia in 2003, Ukraine in 2004, and the Arab Spring in 2011. The same USAID, NED, and Open Society Foundation's logos appear in every single one. The Arab Spring was the trial run for Europe's migrant crisis. In 2011, the CIA and Soros turned that playbook on Libya and Syria. Gaddafi warned the West in March of 2011 that if you take him out, millions would flood Europe from Africa. 8 months later, he was dead, and Libya was chaos, and the migrant waves began exactly as he had predicted. By 2015-2016, battle-hardened jihadists and economic migrants were streaming across the Mediterranean with iPhones, prepaid cards, and Twitter guides written in Arabic, the same social media mobilization tactics used in Kyiv and Tahrir Square. Wayne Madsen called it straight in 2015. This was a deliberate Soros CIA social engineering operation to fracture Europe from within. Same playbook, new target, and now we have America. 2020 to present. Remember the 2020 summer riots? Soros Open Society's foundations gave at least $33 million to the groups that organize and sustain them. How about the southern border caravans? Soros-backed NGOs provided the lawyers, the maps, and the logistics. How about defund the police and DAs in every major city? Soros money elected them. They're running the color revolution playbook on us now. Only this time, the target isn't Belgrade or Damascus, it's you. And this is why JFK was right. After the Bay of Pigs betrayal, President Kennedy reportedly told aides he wanted to splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter it into the winds. He never got the chance. 62 years later, we're living in the world the CIA built. One where a Hungarian-born billionaire who collapsed the Bank of England can pour unlimited dark money into American elections and street movements, and nobody in power dares touch him. Because he's not a liability, he's their most successful off-the-books contractor. The only question left? If Hungary, a country of 9 million people, can pass Stop Soros laws and kick his operations out, why can't we? Maybe it's time we finish what JFK started.
Yeah, so again, she's right in one regard, but I think she kind of has it backwards. Right? Soros isn't working for the CIA. The CIA is employed by Soros. You understand that difference? Soros is a part of the group above the CIA that's orchestrating all of this. And actually, a video went viral recently of George Soros being interviewed by Chrystia Freeland, by the way. Remember Chrystia Freeland, deputy prime minister under Justin Trudeau, helped to get rid of all the bank accounts of the truckers. And she moved over to replace the Zelensky lieutenants that fled the country with $100 million to go live in Israel. So that Chrystia Freeland is interviewing George Soros, and they're bragging about how every single person in the Ukrainian government was a George Soros fellow, had gone through his Open Society's training organization and had been, you know, indoctrinated as an agent of theirs. Do you think that's not being done under the auspices of international intelligence? I mean, you've got Victoria Nuland, obviously, as Undersecretary of State, Deputy Secretary of State, helping to carry out the Maidan Revolution, overthrow the duly elected president of Ukraine, install the puppet regime, all in service of starting a war with Russia. Victoria Nuland then went on to, you know, enter into the National Endowment for Democracy. Like, these are the kingpins, and it almost doesn't matter what position they're in. I mean, they sort of flit from position to position, or George Soros, you're just sort of this kingpin with a apparently infinite amount of money that you can pour tens of billions of dollars into organizations year over year, despite the fact that you made your money in the late 90s and haven't done much since. I mean, it's like Jeffrey Epstein. It's all like, the details don't even matter that much. What you have to understand is that there is this international cabal that shares money with each other, summons money out of thin air. It's the same people that are running the Fed and BlackRock and Goldman Sachs that are now, you know, in Ukraine. You look at that, that's, again, sort of the epicenter of all of this corruption, which is why when Trump first started looking into it in his first administration, they immediately impeached him in order to stop him from tugging on the string that would unravel the whole sweater. So once you understand that, once you understand that you've got the George Soros network and he's just a node of, that Jeffrey Epstein's a node of, that Victoria Nuland's a node of, and these people are starting wars, switching positions internationally even, Chrystia Freeland going from Canada to Ukraine, but is apparently working hand in hand with George Soros, a Hungarian American. It's an international organization. That's the intelligence community that you always hear so much about. It's not American. It's an intelligence community that's international and it serves their own interest, not yours. Bill Clinton is an important member of this cabal. So once you get brought in, you get all the secrets. It's not easy to kick you out.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good, me. Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, now you have a three-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. One of the other big things happening today, the Supreme Court is deciding whether men can compete in women's sports. Because that's the world we live in right now. Is that the Supreme Court of the United States is trying to determine whether men and women are different from one another. And whether men's physicality represents an unfair advantage in sports. They're really trying to hammer this out, trying to figure it out. I think tomorrow they're going to really be arguing about whether the sky is blue. They're going to have a week-long discussion about water. Is it wet or not? We're all very confused by all of this. Like it is kind of hard to cover. Like, are we supposed to take this seriously? Are we supposed to treat this seriously? Like, frankly, I think this data point alone would be enough for George Washington to say, my bad, never mind, we're going back with the English. Something went horribly wrong somewhere along the way. we have to start over now. If you could bring George Washington to 2026, I'm sure everything that you could show him about the modern world would cause a sort of existential terror in him. But the idea that the Supreme Court in 2025 is arguing whether or not men and women are different, because that is the argument at the end of the day. That's it. Are men and women different? Yes. Great. Case closed. This went up to the Supreme Court. And some of the Supreme Court justices are very confused. They're very confused. Justice Brown Jackson faceplants in a bizarre word salad of a question while trying to defend boys and girls sports, gets schooled by Idaho AG. Then Justice Gorsuch steps in. And there's been a couple audio pieces that have come out about this, you know, come out from the discussions here. And you understand the reason why it's so absurd that this is being questioned is because the entire idea of transgenderism is predicated on the gender part, that somehow sex, your biological sex, is something distinct and separate from your gender, which is your social, the social manifestation of your sex. And so that's what, you know, like, that's what transgender is predicated on. That's what the whole idea is. And the whole time that the arguments about transgenderism have been raging, there's been an understanding that there's a difference between the gender expression of an individual and their biological sex. Yeah, I'm speaking in their language now, right? When you're talking about sports, you're not talking about social acceptance. You're talking about scientific reality. When you're talking about medicine, you're not talking about their gender expression. You're talking about biological sex. So why is this even a part of the conversation? The whole idea is, oh, how you present socially and how people treat you and whether they reference you as a boy or a girl or whether, like, that's a completely separate discussion than are men and women physiologically separate from one another, which the answer is undeniably yes. So the fact that this is even, that this ever became part of the conversation, if transgender activists were honest in the first place, the minute sports came up, they would say, no, we shouldn't be involved in sports. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. What we're talking about is social acceptance. And okay, if somebody wants to wear a dress, you should treat them as a woman. And if they present as a woman, you should treat them like that out of respect for them. But sports, no, that's like a physical, scientific thing. It's like men are just stronger and their bones are thicker than women. Like, this is just a fact. If transgender activists were honest, even in the slightest, then this whole sport controversy would never even have been an issue. But it's about destroying these systems. It's about taking this as far as you possibly can to disrupt not just the social fabric of our society, but like the underlying fundamental reality itself. It really exposes what all of this transgenderism is about. Because again, if it was about social acceptance, if it was about what they claim it's about, gender, not sex, then sports would have never entered into the conversation. But this sports conversation has now gone up to the Supreme Court of the United States because we can't figure out whether or not men have an advantage over women. It is beyond absurd. We have a clip from this. Let's go to clip 10 here. This is DEI Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson firing back at the Red State Communicator. Man, can you imagine how successful we would be? Can you imagine FIMFO wars? Well, we'll get there. We'll get slowly but surely. We've replaced one with a woman. Slowly but surely, we will all be replaced by women. Let's listen to Ketanji Brown Jackson struggle to deal with basic reality. Let's watch.
Is that right?
I think to some degree, but it's also
to
your
some
honor.
Degree.
It's just because we're indifferent to a person's gender identity and applying the law.
But the law actually operates differently, I think, for cisgender women and transgender women. That is, with respect to their desire to play on a team that matches their gender identity, cisgender women can do it, transgender women cannot. And so we do appreciate a distinction, I think, that is being drawn on the basis of your gender status, gender identity status, trans or cis, right?
So And I want to make sure I understand if we're operating in Title IX world or equal protection world, because I think it might make a difference to the answer. But
Let's start with Title IX.
So Title IX, I think the question of I look at this statute and see a distinction between boy and girl indifferent to gender identity. And I think that...
Right, but I'm testing that proposition, right? You see that distinction, and I see it, too, on the separation of teams level at the beginning.
Right, and I think what I'm hearing is that that distinction arises from a difference in effect, and I don't see a disparate impact analysis that's sort of hidden away in Title IX.
But why is that a difference in effect? So it's like a second-order discrimination, right? The first order is separating male from female.
Right.
The second order is separating transgender women from cisgender women, right?
Respectfully, I would disagree.
No.
The reason why is just because I think anytime you have a classification, you could divide it into subclassifications, and I don't think that then becomes, like, the law in the same way applies to brown-haired biological girls and blonde-headed biological girls.
I understand, but I don't think you can get...
Based on hair color.
I'm not sure, and maybe this is switching to the equal protection. I don't think you can get out of the...
The hell are we doing? So, if I understand correctly, she thinks there's a difference between trans women and cis women when it comes to sports. It's not. You can call them trans. You can call them cis. You can call them monkeys. You can call them... anything. It doesn't matter. The underlying biology doesn't change. I don't think she understands that. How does she not understand that? Do you see what's happening here? Do you get it? It is just pure insanity. I mean, what are we doing here? What are we talking about? How is this what our society is engaged in at this moment? It's retarded. It's retarded. Our entire, like, the definition of retarded. Maybe that's not even the right word. It's worse than that. Because we haven't just slowed or stopped, like the word retard is supposed to be used. We've actually gone backwards so far that I don't even know if there's ever even been a time in the world where people didn't know that men and women were different. I think we may have gone back to the point where we were some sort of primordial ooze. Because this is fundamental to reality, and we've seemingly lost grasp of that. It's really kind of terrifying. Mostly it's just annoying, though. Mostly it's really just annoying that we even have to have these conversations. And that is maybe the biggest damnation of it all, that we just have to endlessly argue these points for some reason. Like, why are we arguing any of these points? There's got to be a way. There's got to be a way that we can just be ruled by people that recognize reality and keep out the people that don't. Like, is there no way that we can build a system to establish that? It's just so weird because they first, like, inject it with all of this academic speak, whatever, right? Well, we're not talking about biological sex here. We're talking about gender expression, which is different because those are based on socioeconomic perspectives that are, and it's just like, okay, so, all right, so you recognize that there are biological differences, but you're saying that culturally the expression of the sex is the gender. Okay, so there is a difference, but it gets so discombobulated and confusing to the point where they are now denying biological reality between men and women, which is something entirely different than transgenderism. It's just basic stupidity. It's just basic, lie? I don't know. I mean, it's just not true. And it's not accurate, and it has nothing to do with social constructs. It's just fact of life. Like, what are we doing here? What is this? What has gone wrong? Where's the reset button? What are we doing? What are we doing here? I don't know, man. I don't know how you're supposed to, like, care about any of this stuff when our Supreme Court can't determine whether or not men are men and women are women. It's hard to really care about anything else, to be honest with you, because it's all like this. I mean, everything, absolutely everything we deal with is exactly this simple. And for some reason, the vast majority of the world apparently has been driven completely and utterly insane. And, you know, I don't know, man. I really don't know what to do about any of this anymore. We've got stories like this. Trump has complained about Pam Bondi repeatedly to aides. Like Trump today gave a big speech. There are all these clips of Trump. And like, honestly, I don't care. Like, does anybody listening to me, do you care what President Trump said? He said something about Ilhan Omar. Whew. Okay. But she's still a congresswoman. Oh, okay. She's still worth tens of millions of dollars for some reason. Okay, great. So who cares what he says? Oh, well, he said something about, I don't know, something else. It's like, who cares? Like, who cares? Because he's not, because it's not the same. It's different when you're not the president and you're on the campaign trail and you're saying things. It can seem exciting because there's a chance that it's going to come true. Now you are president, so I can't really bring myself to care about the threats that you're making because you're in power right now and you're not doing it. So I've decided, just as you know, professional stance, I'm just going to stop talking about what they're saying. And one day, God willing, they'll do something and I'll report on that. All right. The minute Trump actually does something successfully, then I will eagerly report that. Until then, I really don't care what else they have to say. And stories like this. Trump has complained about Pam Bondi repeatedly to aides. Well, okay. And? what? Does he think the aides can fire her? Is he under the impression that the aides are the ones that are in charge? Trump has repeatedly criticized Attorney General Pam Bondi for perceived ineffectiveness. Perceived? What do you mean perceived? Can you show me her effectiveness in reality? It doesn't exist. Her perceived ineffectiveness in pursuing his agenda, including prosecuting former investigators. Trump's frustration includes Pam Bondi's handling of the Jeffrey Epstein files and the Justice Department's perceived slow progress on election-related investigations. Despite public praise from Trump and his allies, Bondi is reportedly losing support among some of Trump's loyal voters because of a lack of perceived action. President Trump has repeatedly criticized Attorney General Pam Bondi for perceived ineffectiveness in pursuing his... Like, this is how I feel... Is like, you remember that show, what was it, Hell's Kitchen? Right, a guy goes into the chef, whatever his name is, goes into a failing restaurant and he has to tell them what they're doing wrong. It's like, imagine going into a restaurant and they're serving piles of cow poop on plates. It's like, what? I'm not going to do this episode. Like, this is stupid. You don't need me to tell you that, like, you're serving poop on a plate. No one's going to eat this. What are you talking about? Do you know what I mean? It's like the problems that you're dealing with are so fundamentally easy to solve. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? I mean, you can pick any metaphor that we use. The house is on fire. Try, you know, spraying water on it. Yeah, Kitchen Nightmares with Gordon Ramsay. If I, you know... There were some bad restaurants there, right? Mold in the ice machine. Rude waiters, you know, just using stale food, that sort of stuff. But did you ever go into a restaurant and it's just like there's no chairs or tables? There's no waiters. They don't have a stove. And it's just like a bucket of slime that they scoop stuff out of and throw it at people. And it's like, well, you're doing nothing right. You're doing absolutely nothing that you're supposed to be doing. Absolutely nothing is happening the way it's supposed to. So where are we even supposed to start? As far as I can tell, it's not even a restaurant. This is not even an elected representation of what we voted for. And I don't know. It's a stupid metaphor, but it's just like it would be one thing if there were these big challenges that we were having to try to solve if like, you know, they're filing stuff repeatedly and it's getting sent back. And they're trying to get rid of the, you know, judges that are making those decisions. But then other people are interfering. Like, okay, if it was this really strong battle back and forth, but again, every day I feel like I come in here and I'm like, the house is still on fire. The hose is right there. And they just haven't connected it to the fire hydrant yet. Yeah. Trump's being an idiot sandwich right now. That's what he's being. So I'm sorry. It's just like, how many times are we going to have to read headlines like this? I can't teach you that because it's common sense. I mean, literally, what are we doing here? I'm trying to imagine, like, if I had an employee that I hired, and it's like I hire them to make cuts and edits of the show and then upload them, and it's just like a year later they haven't uploaded a single video. I paid them to come into the office every single day. They're at a computer with editing software open, but they have not once uploaded a single video. And every week or so, you know, the rumor goes around the office. It's like, oh, Harrison's kind of mad that this new guy's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Oh, you better light a fire under there. And it's just no videos get uploaded ever, ever for a year. And it's like, so what are we doing here? What are we doing? Is that a big problem that would be hard to solve? I don't know, man. It's really hard to care about any of this. This month, Trump has talked with allies about how he could appoint a special counsel to the Justice Department because he's so frustrated with what he sees as slow progress of the work. People familiar with the matter said, chief among his grievances is what he sees as Bondi's failure to quickly and effectively prosecute the investigators who had pursued him for years, including former FBI Director James Comey, New York Attorney General Letitia James. The officials and others familiar with his complaints said both criminal cases were dismissed in November by a judge who said the Trump aide who secured the indictment had been improperly appointed to her post. Trump has wanted to see the cases continue quickly. And they don't tell you the full story about how there was already somebody that was accurately appointed, but he was family friends with the Comeys, so he slow walked the whole thing. So again, do we just say the same stuff over and over? It just goes on and on. Folks are desperate for action and just haven't seen it, says Steve Bannon, providing a list of topics that the president's supporters want her to bring more cases on, including the 2020 election, Justice Department's investigation, the Trump campaign ties to Russia and the 2016 election. I mean, yeah, those were the things that were, treason. Those were the treasonous things that were done to try to stop the peaceful transfer of power. So, those should be on the top of the list. But it's just barely scratching the surface of what has actually gone on, because not only do you have the Russia collusion hoax, which was absolutely massive and huge, obviously you have the Hunter Biden laptop situation. Nobody's been punished for that, which obviously was a gigantic deal. You have the stolen 2020 election. You have the January 6th committee, and that whole thing was entirely fraudulent, and they destroyed people's liberties and punished them without ever achieving a conviction. But you've also got the traitor Alejandro Mayorkas that opened up the border and flooded our country with tens of millions of people, totally against law. He had no right to do that, but he did it anyway. You've got, it just goes on and on. Like, this is just off the top of my head, and I'm barely scratching the surface. I could probably name 50 different people that, like, we know they've committed crimes. It's not speculation. It's not revenge. It's not vindictiveness. It's James Comey leaking information illegally and then lying about it under oath. We can't charge him for that. Letitia James just clearly bending the rules to try to get a conviction on Donald Trump, despite that being, again, just a flagrant violation of the oath that she took to impose the law fairly. So, but then you charge her with, mortgage fraud. Yeah, I'd be frustrated too, Trump. I'd be a hell of a lot more frustrated. And you got to wonder, like, are these stories being planted to try to light a fire under Pam Bondi? Like, just what is going on? Just what is going on? You hired somebody who just is not doing their job. Has not once done a single aspect of their job. Okay, so there we are. That's what we got so far. It's great. Trump has ordered 2,500 Somalis out of the country by March amid a fallout from Minnesota fraud scheme. The White House is ending TPS for Somalia, meaning thousands of Somalis in the U.S. under that program must leave after an alleged fraud scheme exploded in Minnesota and made national headlines. Those affected must leave the country by March 17th. There are roughly 2,500 Somalis in the U.S. under TPS. DHS sources revealed to Fox News just under 1,400 of those are in the country with pending applications. An estimated 24% of them reside in Minnesota, where Immigration and Customs Enforcement has been carrying out deportation operations in recent weeks. Somalia is one of the poorest and most dangerous countries in the world, which has been destabilized by clan division, insurgent groups, and humanitarian crisis since the central government collapsed there in the 1990s. So obviously we want as many of them over here as possible. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know why they would leave. Right? I mean, what, are they just going to leave now? You just tell them, okay, your TPS is revoked. You have to go home now. And they're just going to do that? Are you kidding me? I seriously doubt it. Haitians, Colombians, Venezuelans, Chinese, Africans, Filipinos, Mexicans, Indians, British, and Europeans all polled more positively when it came to asking about Somali immigrants' impacts on the United States. I just, you know, why do we have any migrants here at all? It's just... it's not an issue. We have no obligation to provide anything for them ever. Why are we doing it? What is the point? What do we benefit from it? We don't. It's all being done to destroy us. I think maybe I'll get into that in the next hour. I am going to open up your phone calls, of course. But again, I feel like maybe we got to go back to the fundamentals. I was talking to my wife yesterday. I was like, oh yeah, it was really cool. I interviewed a member of European Parliament for Germany. She's like, oh, about what? And I'm like, oh, you know, just like the free speech and the fact that like German infrastructure is collapsing. And, you know, the guy I interviewed had been had his house raided 27 times just because he's a opposition politician. And she's like, what? She's like, why are they doing that? Like, why are they trying to destroy Europe? And it's like, that is a very deep question. But if you can answer that question, you can sort of decode the entire world and all, and the last 200 years or so of history. Why are they trying to destroy Europe? What would compel somebody to so permanently damage a country like Germany or France or the UK beyond repair? Destroying their infrastructure, destroying their people, letting millions of their women be raped. Like, who would do that and why? If you can answer that question, everything else kind of falls into place, actually, because the reality is it's about fear. It's about fear of what Europeans are capable of. And we'll get into I'll touch on this on the other side, because I do think we need to get back to the fundamentals. Now, people don't understand why these things are happening. They seem so inexplicable.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Kind of, I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you will be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.